fun to be away, fun to be back. You know, I miss you guys when I'm gone. I don't know. I know you're in good hands. I know Mike preached a dynamite sermon. I know that we've got a great... Anyways, I missed you guys, and it's good to be back. I wanted to give you, before we dive into the sermon today, we're 2 weeks away from finishing up a little series in 1 Thessalonians. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update of some of what's going on, kind of the leadership thinking of the church, and give you a summary of some of what is kind of the focusing of vision that's been part of the conversations in the leadership of the church. And in particular, there's a phrase you see up on the screens that comes out of our most recent leadership retreat. None of this is going to be real, you know, particularly new to you, other than, you know, as a church, we are really serious about mission, and we are increasingly pursuing focus of what exactly, God, are you calling us to do as a church? What are we aiming toward? And so, here's a sentence that perhaps you'll find helpful, because this sort of outlines how we're trying to structure as a church, and ultimately, it's about what we hope for you. Our hope as a church is to help people become more like who? Yeah, instead of not more like Oprah or whatever, more like Jesus through worship, which we define as loving God, okay? Connection, loving others, and service, serving our world. Or you hear the phrase frequently of lost people found, hurting people helped. That's what we're trying to do. So we're fundamentally about three things. And you see it on just about everything. I think we've managed to have these three words infect just about every piece of literature we've got. Actually, next slide, please, Rick. Worship, connect, and serve. Of people establishing their relationship with God, just finding Jesus as their Savior, to connect, to build authentic, honest friendships with other Christians, places where they're able to grow in their faith, places where people can study God's word, places where you can have friends that you could call at 4 o'clock in the morning and you wouldn't have to apologize for doing that. We're longing for people to find real community, not just pseudo community. And thirdly, that people find a place to serve, to live out their gifts and talents in ways that make a difference to the world around us. You know, the lost people found, hurting people helped, because that's God's heart. People that are distant from God, the scriptures tell us that God is very concerned about that. People that don't know Jesus, God is very concerned about that. People that are in dire situations of need, whether that's from injustice or from poverty or from sickness, God is very concerned about that. And he calls his church to be very concerned about that. And so our hope is that as part of the church, you know, you find these regular habits of worship, these really honest friendship connections. I mean, people that you can do life with, and that you find ways to live out your gifts and talents. That for us also, that mission is becoming our structure of what we're, of how we even organize the church. For you to come into a worship service, and it's great to have everybody here, and we've grown a lot in the last year, and that's wonderful. Just because you're in a Sunday morning worship service doesn't mean that you're necessarily have found those really close friendships. Those, you know, those bestest buddies, those people that you can really do life with, people you could call at 4 o'clock in the morning without apology. And so one of the things that we do, at least two times a year, we're kind of fiddling with this, and is to do something that we're calling connection bridges. Would you put up the next slide, please, Rick? So one of the ways that we do that is through connection groups. And here's where that little insert thing comes in handy. We've got... At this point, I think there's about 12, and there's even one here that's not listed. There's that with the Kellys, and you'll see a video on that in just a second. But of places where you know, you can go midweek to talk about your faith. In the fall, we're going to be doing a 6-week sermon series going through 1 John. So we'll be kind of teaching on the text on the Sunday morning, and then there'll be some discussion questions, kind of like what you see on the other insert in the bulletin. And midweek, we're urging people to find a group where they can connect up and talk about it. Talk about how these ideas affect them. Like the first week, we'll be talking about forgiveness. How does forgiveness, how do you process that in light of the Word of God? So we're wanting you to get into a connection group. We've got a whole bunch of them, a big variety of them, some fantastic leaders. And the point of the connection group, because we recognize just because you check on a box, which is what we're going to ask you to do at some point, check off a box and put your name on there and say, you know, that Don Miller, he seems like a nice guy. I could go into his group. Or that Kay Parks, man, she's just great in the choir. I'd love to meet with her. That just because you come into a group and you're hanging out with them for a total of about 9 hours, I mean an hour and a half for 6 weeks, not a big commitment. Just because you're there doesn't mean that you're like, you know, that whole group is necessarily going to be all tight and we're just lovey-dovey and all friends. No. But, what it does provide is an opportunity for you to get to meet some other Christians and discover, I mean, if out of the 10 or 15 people in your group, if you find one person that you just kind of make a heart connection with, that's a success. That there are people that you just kind of naturally connect with. So we've got connection groups which are planned and they are short. So we're going to work real hard to get you signed up into one of these things to make a 9-hour commitment to hanging out with other Christians. They're planned and they're short, but they're not actually the goal. The goal is a community group. And those community groups are fairly unplanned. We cannot force them. You can't just sign up for one and then suddenly they're your bestest buddy. It doesn't work that way. I mean, people are way more complex than that. And to a certain degree, we've got, and I don't know if we'll keep using that name of community groups, but we've got community groups in the church already. I mean, my wife's in a group with about 4 other women, and they meet on a regular basis, they pray, they study God's word together, and, you know, I can't make them stop. Because they like being together. They just naturally connect. I don't need to, honey, you really should get yourself into a group with friends. No. These are people she has naturally connected with, just natural friendships. That is what we want for you. Now, no program can make that happen, but there is planning that can make that not happen. The way we can make that not happen is not give you any chance to meet anybody. Or not have you can choose to not meet with anybody, and I can pretty much guarantee that you're not going to make any long-term Christian friendships. It's pretty simple. But we're wanting to get you into a group so that you have some chance to do that. And then we also have these what we call bridges to service. Things like the spiritual gifts assessment or these kind of one-time service events like we did with the Souls from Heaven. We get a whole bunch of people together and we're serving the community and it's fantastic. And we give away 1,000 pairs of shoes and rah, 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 and it feels so good. And that's great. It really is great. But long term, that's not actually our goal for you, not just to sign you up for a day of service, as good as that is. It's for you to discover for yourself your gifts and talents and go, I'm going to commit myself to a lifestyle of service. It needs to be in a way that fits you. For those of you that might be a natural, teacher or a natural person of hospitality or a natural kind of shepherding gifts, it might be with being a shepherd for one of those community groups or a connection group. That might be it. For our musicians or artists, it might come out in some sort of a Sunday morning worship format. For people that have a passion for kids, that might end up being in serving in children's ministry. But our hope, and here's what you need to expect from me, is that the core structure of the church stays simple enough that the majority of our efforts and the majority of service isn't just about making the wheels of the Columbia Grove machine turn. For us as a church to be successful, and I define success by, as far as we can tell, the mission God given us, is that where many of our efforts for service end up spilling out into the community and to the world around us. So for many of you, we believe as you discover your gifts and talents and put them into service, that's going to mean, who knows, food banks, or it's going to mean, it might mean international mission, or I mean, all sorts of things can come out of as people discover their gifts and talents and express them. And it's our job as a church to support that, not to plan that, or to program that, or to make that happen. So, worship, connect, serve. Fundamentally, that's what we're about. And well, let me say this one other thing, and then we're gonna I want you to actually watch a series of videos and think about this connection point. Here's what you can expect from me as a pastor. Here's what you should be expecting from me. I'm gonna do my bestest to try to do this. One is to try to help keep things organizationally focused, so we're not just burning off energy and all sorts of other things that don't actually help us accomplish the goal. The other thing you can expect from me is to unapologetically say, have you found a place to connect yet? Have you found a place to serve yet? You know, when you go into your doctor, your doctor will probably talk to you about diet and exercise. And if the doctor notices that, you know, hey, Mr. Thompson, you're 15 pounds overweight and your blood pressure's a little high, let's talk about your diet and your exercise. The fact that the doctor is saying that to you doesn't mean that they don't like you. In fact, it's the very opposite. They care about your long-term health. And, you know, like many of us, you know, you go to the doctor, you go to the dentist, you know, how many times have you flossed? Daily, sort of, you know. I mean, you can lie to them, and they don't hate you for that. But, the job of a good doctor or a good dentist is to continually be pointing towards health. So I will make no apologies about asking the question, have you found a place to connect yet? Are you forming Christian friendships yet? Have you found a place to serve God with your gifts and talents yet? If you haven't made progress, doesn't mean I hate you, doesn't mean you're not still loved and I'm available to you, but my job is to point you and me towards Christian health. Worship, connect, serve. Make sense? You're like, no, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm okay. All right, like, just get to the passage. Let's preach. All right. I'll ease up on you in just one second. But I do want you to do this. I mean, some of you are already in a community group. I mean, not many of you, but some of you already are. You know, you've got some friends. You just go, we do life together. I mean, I've got people I could call at any moment of the day and know that they're there for me. People I pray with regularly. If you're in a connection group or a community group like that, you don't need to sign up for another one. That's just making you busy. I don't care about making you busy. I care about making you healthy. Although if you have a gift of teaching or a gift of hospitality or a gift of shepherding, I'm going to ask you to maybe lead one of those groups. Because, you know, if you're a... it doesn't make much sense to buy a new car and not drive it. You were put on the earth for a purpose. And if part of your purpose is to, you know, part of your spiritual gifts are to shepherd and lead other people, and you're not doing that, well, what are you doing? Are you too busy? What are you too busy for? Honestly. If that's part of what God has equipped you and put you on this planet to do, I'm not going to make any apologies about asking you to do it. If it's not what God has equipped and called you to do, that's different. Anyways, so if you're already involved in a community group, you know, don't sign up just because I'm putting a little bit of heat on. But if you're not regularly meeting with other Christians to pray, to talk, your spiritual doctor is saying, pursue health. Please. please. What I'd like you to do is if take out your insert, now that I've kind of munched mine up because I'm all excited, is we're going to show some video clips from at least some of the connection groups that we have so far. And as you're doing that, I just ask you to kind of pray and go, hey, Lord, is this possibly a group that I should be a part of? All right, let's run those tasty clips.
My name is Anita Thompson, and I will be hosting a connection group at our house, 1535 Cherry Street, on Wednesdays. And what will make this group unique is that it is a group for women. I'm a young mom, two young girls. I enjoy biking, gardening, skiing, all those kind of things, and I'm interested in getting to know you better as well. So I hope you can make it.
You might notice there's two of us. We're just two of maybe a half a dozen that met, started the meeting this last spring on Saturday mornings, and we're sharing life together and praying together and learning to expand our prayer life. And we found it strengthening and enjoyable, and we just want to do a heartfelt invitation to all the men.
I can't think of anything more wonderful than to learn how to deepen one's communication, conversation, and fellowship with the God who loves us so much. And this is a group that certainly does encourage me to be more faithful in prayer and enjoy the blessings that God gives me as I pray with Him.
Starting September 26th, we're meeting on Saturday at 7 a.m. Church office, 200 Palouse Street. We'll welcome you all and bring your coffee cups.
And don't forget, it's a wonderful opportunity to enjoy Don's famous home-baked cookies, which he absolutely brings faithfully every week.
My name is Sherry Snodgrass. I've been coming to the church for a while now. This group is going to be meeting Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock at my home. I do have two furry children, so if you have any allergies to dogs or cats, not a good place for you to be. But this is going to be for people who like chocolate. I'm starting to sell chocolate, and I need guinea pigs to test out my new recipes on. So come to a Bible study, have fun. We'll eat chocolate afterwards, and I mean, chocolate for Jesus, how much better does that get? So hope to see you there.
Well, I'm Melissa Kelly.
And I'm Jeremy Kelly.
And we have an 11-year-old, his name is Jacob, and we are interested in hosting a group at our home on Wednesday nights.
For those people who are not afraid to cross the river to come to East Wenatchee, we are your place to be.
Our group is special because if you have children who are in the middle ages, you know, middle elementary to upper elementary, you can go ahead and bring them.
So what we're hoping you'll do as we consider these groups, and there'll be other groups that you'll see next week and the week after. If there's somebody you just go, hey, I think I could spend some time with them, what I'd like you to do is with that little insert, just check off the box that corresponds with the name that you saw, put your name on it, put it in the offering plate, and they'll get in touch with you and make certain that you have all the information that you need for getting connected to that group. Make sense? All right. And since Melissa and Jeremy's, we didn't have their information in time to put it on the insert. If you just put, you know, Melissa and Jeremy or the Kellys or something like that, we'll get that there. So you can, I mean, you don't need to necessarily color in the lines, or we're just that kind of church. You just scribble on this and put it on the offering plate, and that is awesome. So what we want for you as a church, and we'll get to the text real quick here. I know this is a little bit longer, but this is very important, is what we're longing for you is that for each person that you develop a habit of worship, a community of faith-growing connections, and a lifestyle of service. Because God wants lost people found and hurting people helped. And he's called all of us to be a part of that mission. And it's a great mission. It's a great mission. All right, well, let's turn our attention to the text. And we are 2 weeks away from finishing a series in 1 Thessalonians, who is written by who? Paul, to a church where? Thessalonica. What is one of the things that's kind of unique about the book of 1 Thessalonians? It was the first book to actually go into print in the New Testament. The first letter to be written. And so Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." I'm sure there's many pregnant women that right halfway through labor, they said, "Nope, I'm done." And it still happened. It's amazing. It's labor pains on the pregnant woman while they're... Well, I shouldn't make jokes about that. I've watched this twice, and it's no picnic. "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Guard your heart. And the hope of salvation as a helmet." The helmet guards what? Your head. That's right. "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build," wow, that was neat, "build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So last weekend we were at a family camp over outside of Yelm, had a really great time. But when we came home after this, we had a little surprise in our house. Would you put up the next slide? You see, in our house, we've got a small house and a big fridge and a big freezer, because my wife, Anita, has an amazing gift of hospitality. We love having people over. We're feeding people all the time. And because she's got this gift of hospitality, with the gift comes a fear. There's a fear that somebody might leave our house hungry. You know, we're just visiting and they go, "I have a little hunger pain," and then they just starve right there on the spot. It could happen. I'm reminded of that. It is not an irrational fear. So So we have a fridge. This is just the best fridge. It doesn't even have a freezer in it. It's just a fridge, and it's huge. It stores gobs and gobs of food, and we've got this chest freezer out in the garage, and it stores gobs and gobs of food. But when we left, there was something we didn't notice. See that itty-bitty light on there? It had gone out. I had popped a breaker mowing the lawn with our electric lawnmower and a stupid motor that blew up. Anyways, and I didn't notice. So we came back after having been away for about 4 days. We open up the freezer. Yeah, and we close the freezer. And there was a delicate combined bouquet of ice cream and Otter Pops and frozen veggies and chicken juice. And so Anita was immediately thinking, all of that food, and I'm thinking, it's going to be a couple $100 to fill that stupid freezer again. That's the way we think. There's a difference in our house, the difference how the guys think. Anyways, we had a plan. We actually had a very good plan. Our plan was to store food for the future so we would need it. We had a good plan. And in an instant, with the trip of a breaker, that plan came to nothing. We were just going on through life, thinking we had planned for the future, thinking we had planned far enough out, but just with the trip of a breaker, those plans turned into nothing. Bring that up because, one, I want you to feel sorry for me. And two, because that is, in a small way, a metaphor of what this passage is talking about. You know, wise people plan for the future. They plan for retirement. They plan for their kids to go to college. Wise people do that. But one of the things that goes on in our culture is we don't plan out far enough. I mean, if you're a really wise person, you plan for 20 years from now. I mean, that'd be very rare, actually, if you've made a 20-year financial plan. The problem is, very often, we're not thinking about the 20,000-year plan. It is wise to plan for the future, but the problem is that most of us don't plan far enough out. And we go through much of what we go through in life living in the short view rather than in the long view. I mean, the only people that plan only for today are those that are foolish and those that are desperate. So there are people that just live day to day to day to day. Generally, it's those that are foolish and those that are desperate. And so what this passage challenges us to do is to consider, in light of the fact that because Jesus died and rose again, you, as a believer in Christ, you have an eternity in heaven. If you believe in Jesus, if you belong to him, you have an eternity in heaven. And so Paul is telling this church, because of that, live for that long view. I mean, what if maybe we're lucky and we have 90 years on this earth? Wouldn't that be great? But 90 years relative to eternity, how much is that? Nothing. For a baby being born 9 months in the womb, I imagine it would be like an eternity. And you finally get to the end, and woohoo! But there's all this life to live on the other side. So it is for us. You know, we put so much effort and so much thought into the things that are just so day to day to day to day to day to day. And it's understandable. I mean, come on, this stuff, it's not like it doesn't matter. But we put so little thought into those things that that matter for eternity. And so Paul is saying to this church in Thessalonica, don't be in the dark here, friends. Don't live like an addict. You know, an addict that goes day to day to day. They're trapped and they are desperate. Don't live like that. But have your eyes on the long view. You are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. But you are children of the light and children of the day, Paul writes. So the one thought I just want you to wrestle with a little bit today is, how is your life oriented around the long view? And do you at times, do you trade the long view for a fixation on the short? I'm going to ask a few little questions. I mean, they poke at me, and I'm assuming they might poke at you a little bit. You know that that we are trading the long view for the short. When we find that we're spending more time fretting over the news than we are spending it in God's word. We know that we're trading the long view for the short when we find ourselves spending more time worrying than we do praying. We find that we have traded the long view for the short. When we find that our finances are primarily going into things to ensure our own immediate comfort right now, and not into things that do last for eternity. I mean, the Bible tells us that as Christians, that we have nothing to fear from the judgment of God. I mean, if you belong to Jesus, Christ has forgiven you, he has ransomed you, he has redeemed you, he has paid the price. You are in. You are on the team. You have got the jersey. You don't get kicked off. But scriptures also remind us that even though, as believers, we don't need to fear whether or not we're into heaven, there is a sense to which our lives are lived towards, you know, are we living out God's will for our life? Are we living a life that will receive eternal reward? Now, I had a pastor friend put it to me like this. You know, it's like, you know, at the end of a ball team, or end of a ball game, you know, you've got everybody's in the same jersey. But there are people on that team that end up getting MVP awards, or with our girls on a soccer team, you know, they get to the end of the game and the coach is like, hey, good job, and it goes up by one, you know, down the line of the players and say, oh, you know, Susie, you did that so well, you chased after the ball and you kicked it, you got it in the goal, good job. Lauren, you did a great, you know, you headed that one and you were so brave and you ran really fast. Good job. You know, and on that final day, for us as Christians, it's not going to be a day of judgment, but there is chance that as we get to the final day, it might be a day for some of us of regret. You get to the end of life and you go, I spent all my time and effort on that? When I could have been living for that? I spent all of my time on the bench shining my uniform when I could have been in the field? I spent all my time worrying if other people liked how my outfit looked? And I could have been kicking the ball? And so Paul reminds us that life is short. And the return of Christ will come at a time when nobody anticipates it. Normal life will be going on, and then everything changes. We don't know when that is. But because of that, because we are aware of that reality, let us not waste a moment here. Let's not let our lives get fixated on things that from the the heavenly perspective don't matter. And I'm not saying that, you know, money or politics, or, I mean, those things, they matter in the present. But we view them in light of their significance for eternity. That as we I wonder, you know, on the other side, as we look back, you know, how the things that we were so worried about here, how they might look so very, very different. Those things that we thought were disposable ended up being so precious. Those things that we thought we were too busy to do ended up being the very thing that we were called to do. So friends, do not live your life for the short view. Would you pray with me? Lord, your word is convicting. We are mindful that our days on this earth are precious and short. And God, we want to live our lives and invest our lives in things that really, honestly, truly matter. And so, Lord, we ask you, there are areas in our lives where we've become fixated on things that are only of short-term value. Lord, would you reveal that to us? And help us to fix our eyes on those things that matter for eternity. And Lord, where our vision is cloudy in knowing what things we are genuinely called to in our lives, where our vision is cloudy, Lord, would you bring, by your Spirit, would you bring clarity? Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit that guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name.